archivepodcasts.com. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage. ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
It is our tradition to start hour two of the El Paso History Show with an El Paso History moment written and produced by Melissa Sargent. And she does this on behalf as a volunteer for the El Paso County Historical Commission. And her story today is about the most famous gunfight in the Old West, the Four Dead in 5 seconds.
The bodies of two Mexican vaqueros recently murdered were brought to El Paso. An inquest was held in the Justice of Peace office located in the vicinity of present-day Camino Real Hotel. 75 riders from Mexico charge up and down El Paso Street demanding justice. When the inquest is terminated, the vaqueros ride back across the Rio Grande in Mexico carrying the bodies of their dead compadres. Out on the street, former City Marshal George Campbell is arguing with Gus Krempkow, constable and former Texas Ranger, about the dead vaqueros and their compadres. Disgusted, Campbell turns to mount his horse when his friend Johnny Hale screams, "I'll take care of this for you, George!" Then Johnny shoots Krempkow. Marshal Dallas Stoudemire, crossing the street to grab a bite to eat, hears the gunshots, turns, and runs, firing his six guns, accidentally killing an innocent peanut vendor. Dallas then turns the guns on Johnny Hale and George Campbell. Johnny dies instantly, and George, mortally wounded, cries out, "It's not my fight!" When the dust clears, four men are dead, all killed in 5 seconds. More El Paso history next time on El Paso History Moments. I'm Melissa Sargent for the El Paso County Historical Commission.
This El Paso History Moment is brought to you by Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Go online to sargentinventoryservices.com.
Actually, I have a couple of people.
Who is that guy loudmouth talking there all so loud? Anyway, that was a cool history moment. Now, we know that story.
Yes,
because
that's right.
That's the Old West in El Paso.
That's a very famous Old West story. But again, it shows, you know, somebody killing four people in 5 seconds is like, my Lord, you know?
Well, what was the point? I mean, John Wesley Hardin never killed anybody, didn't need it.
Well, that's true.
That's what he said.
Yeah.
However,
snore around him, yes.
All history in El Paso, this is with the El Paso County Historical Commission, and that's the crowd that is there. They're actually moving buildings. I'm going to say they're moving mountains, but occasionally they're helping buildings get around. And they're going to have their next meeting. When is that?
That's going to be on December 12th, which is a Monday, and it'll be at the Paso del Norte Bank in downtown El Paso at Main and Kansas. And if you'd like to get interested with the El Paso County Historical Commission, and they're a great group, call 915-581-7920 and talk to Bernardo.
Paladin, where do you roam? Paladin, paladin. Travel reads the card of a man. A knight without armor in a savage land. His fast gun for hire heeds the calling wind. A soldier of fortune is the man called Paladin.
Ah, there you go from the West. And what homework were you doing when you heard that one, Rod Linkus?
Well, I looked it up real quick. That was done by a guy named Johnny Dollar.
And he was local? No.
No. He was out in California. He was a country and western singer.
But we had a Johnny Dollar here that wasn't the same guy.
Now then, the other thing is that in the show, he never had a first name because they wanted him to be mysterious. And he one time said his Colt single-action army 7.5-inch barrel had a 1-pound trigger pull, which means he probably would have shot his foot off drawing a thing.
Oh, that's light?
Yeah.
Oh. You know, there's another one. I don't have a clip on this one. But we're talking guns of the Old West, basically. Old West guns. I mean, you couldn't have done the Old West without guns, I don't think, the way it was done, of course. But we have Rod Linkus in here along with Scott Drake. And Scott has a gun company across the street from the radio station. And it's a fine gun company.
I'm curious, what kind of guns? I mean, meaning fine. There's all types of different weaponry out there. What do you specialize in?
We focus more on the hunting aspect and the traditional type firearms. You know, we do custom rifle builds and things like that.
Oh, wow.
I'm a gunsmith. My store manager, he's a gunsmith. So we do repair and builds and things like that.
Gunsmiths are hard to find. I mean,
very few and far between now.
Yeah.
He just fixed one of mine.
Yeah, it was actually a pretty special pistol. Merwin and Hulbert, you don't see a whole lot of them, but Rod had one with a broken firing pin, and good luck finding parts for that.
Yeah.
Did you have to make one?
Yeah, with a little bit of help and a TIG welder from a friend of mine. We actually welded up a new firing pin onto it, and then I shaped it, and we got it back in working order. So,
who gets to test that one out the first time?
That's going
to
be Rod.
Go for it, Rod.
You just fixed him.
Yeah,
sure it is. Have a good time.
That's right. Your wife just bought a new insurance policy. I heard about that.
Yeah.
But the thing is, but Scott, what you do as a gun store owner, you sounds like you take a little pain and time with people. And somebody told me who was on Facebook when we promoted the fact that you're coming on. Some guy said, Take all your old guns down there, because he knows what to do with them.
Yeah.
And you'll either fix them or help sell them or appraise them. You do appraisals.
Yeah, we do appraisals. You know, appraisals a big deal for insurance or if you plan on selling a gun. You know, getting an accurate estimate of value is a big deal. I mean, there's a very, very minute differences between a big dollar value, you know, in some of these old firearms and things like that. So we really sit down and research. You know, sometimes it takes me a few hours or even contacting... you know, I've contacted the Winchester Museum, guys like that, curators and stuff, to get accurate values on some of these old firearms, especially kind of the ones we're talking about today, the old repeating firearms and things like that.
Well, also, what you do in your business, you look out for guns, I'm guessing. Do you have collectors that say, can you find me a gun?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we have special requests all the time. We try to find whatever anybody's looking for, and that's kind of the thing with our store is a lot of places you walk in, and what you see is what you get, but we're not those guys. One of my mottos is if I can't find it, I'll find it.
And you do, I think.
Yeah, and we do.
One of the things to bring up, he was talking about the value of the old guns. He mentioned he had done the research on my Merwin, and they sell a good one in good condition can sell for $3,000-$4,000. And I said, well, mine won't sell for that much because it's been refinished, which drops the collector value down to about zero.
But, and you deal in this kind of stuff yourself personally.
Yeah, well, I collect a little bit.
Well, let me ask you this. You've got guns of various calibers and flavors and whatever, and you're talking about guns here specifically. I guess due to their rarity, their price is higher, their value is higher?
It's more of an intrinsic value. The same way, guys, you know, it's just like the old car game. You know,
but this is different though, because in some of these old gun games, what was the gun used for?
Right,
changes the value exponentially.
Oh, you can have a refinished gun that's in terrible shape, and if it was used by, let's say, Wyatt Earp,
Pat Garrett,
boom.
Pick one. That's what I mean. That level of gun collecting, are you doing that?
Right. Well, and it's really hard. I mean, in the gun business, we call it a provenance.
Yes. Can you prove it?
Yeah, exactly. Can you prove it? What kind of history do you have on it? If you can't prove it, there's just nothing can be done. I mean, it's just an old gun at that point, and it's worth whatever its collector or intrinsic value.
Yeah, and one other thing is a lot of people don't realize that the importance of being fit to a gun, too. I think, you know, you sell these kind of guns, and there's one thing I want that gun. I think it'd be really great. And it really doesn't work for them, or it's not what they want it for.
Right.
And you do things like that also,
right,
correct?
Yeah, you know, and I've had customers come in, and they'll say, oh, I really want this high-end, you know, shotgun or whatever, but we put it up, and... it doesn't fit them, you know, so I'll talk them down to a different shotgun, even a, you know, less expensive shotgun. If it fits them better, it's going to serve them better in the long run.
And you want a shotgun that you can handle well.
Exactly. You know,
I learned that years ago.
Oh, you've seen those videos with people firing guns and they go out the back end of the guy's head something?
My grandfather had a sawed-off shotgun, and my brothers and I took it out one time to shoot it. And I didn't have it pressed against my shoulder correctly. And this little girl flipped for about 3 feet.
That's what I mean. Take you down. And see, those are videos on YouTube also.
Oh, yeah. That was before YouTube.
You know, there's a lot of people in this world who know a lot about a lot of things. But there's one guy I know who's actually a son of a gun. He's on the radio. He's on the phone. His name is Bernie. Hey, Bernie! Oh. Son of a gun, Bernie, it's you!
A whole lot of nothing. That adds up to something. We're trying to
what have you been up to, dude?
Well, Christmas lights, that's the day today. I'm putting those up.
Good for you.
Yay!
Are you decorating with little gun lights, or what do you have, light up guns?
Yeah, with the shotgun shells over
there. Yeah,
the
we do have shotgun shells.
Oh, that's
Christmas
right.
lights, yes.
Turn those on carefully.
There you go. Now, I got a little trivia. I'm sure the gentlemen that are there, Rod and so on,
Scott.
Know the answer to this one. Yeah, Scott. I have part-timers. The what famous individual was involved with the Paladin series?
Paladin.
Oh, famous Gene Roddenberry.
There you go.
Is that one of his?
Yes.
Not one of his. He did some of the stories
yeah.
for it.
Well, he wrote some?
Yeah, he did some stories.
Yeah.
He always had a fascination with cowboys, and from the Paladin series, he got involved with sort of a space program that everybody knows about.
Oh, yeah. Well, now he's up the river. There's no river there. Up the desert in Alamogordo. They've got him now in a big deal of exhibit up there.
Yeah, they sure do.
And
they
so
sure
that,
do.
That's a cool thing.
But Roddenberry wrote a lot for TV shows, Twilight
well,
Zone.
Okay.
Some
oh, he also
the lieutenant,
the F Troop was his.
F-troop.
Remember that?
Oh no, it wasn't his. He wrote scripts for.
But
it.
I mean, he was yeah. involved. Yeah. The name came because his father was in G Troop or something yeah. like that. Okay, Bernie, I got a question for you. A trivia question.
Yes, sir.
Name the man whose sidekick was Pahu Katiwa.
Gesundheit.
Oh, from the Pagawi tribe.
No, Yancey Derringer.
Oh,
right?
I don't.
Eh?
I didn't know the answer.
Look that no, one up. I could have asked it the other way.
One.
Go ahead.
There was something else I was going to mention. Oh, yeah, you were talking about Springfield trapdoors. I have an 1864 trapdoor, which I was really excited because the side plate said 61 on it. And I thought, wow, this is great. It's one of the first in the series that was actually presented to the Union forces and turned down because I guess somebody there was smarter than Springfield and said, we don't need anything quite like that. They produced 5,000 of them, I think, in 1861, most of which went over to Europe for the Crimean War. And it wasn't until 1864 that they went full bore to use them in the military for the Civil War. And I just, I was given one of those a few years back, and I thought, well, what a prize that is.
Very cool. And also, you're one of the main people behind Six Guns and Shady Ladies.
One of the cogs in the wheel.
And you had the right correct weapon because otherwise you could have been five guns or five.
Yeah.
No, but that doesn't have the ring as a six gun, does it?
Well, we learned early on to use blanks. It really made a big difference in the group's attendance.
Yeah, that's lead poisoning and all those jokes. All right, well, Bernie, nice to hear from you, dude. Happy Thanksgiving, and whatever's next, let us know.
You bet. Thank you. And thank you, Rod and Scott, for being there. It's a good program. I'm enjoying it.
You take it easy.
Thanks.
We have people listening in Pennsylvania, I think, this morning. There's a guy on the Facebook yesterday. He was going to tune in. I mean, that's what's interesting about this radio program. It gets out there. Who knows?
Oh, yeah.
So be careful what you're saying.
I listen to it when I'm out of town. And
it's pretty easy. I mean, I go to my phone. I wander around, see what's going on.
And a lot of people like El Paso history. I mean, they always think of the gunfights, but once they start to find out more, and they don't even have to live here, they're just amazed with our history from the Mexican Revolution, the conquistadors. I mean, we go way back.
Well, there's also another thing about what happened here in the way of guns in the West, but it was more like guns in the Army, because guns in El Paso were sold to Pancho Villa by the thousands, as I understood it. What did he buy?
He was buying mostly Winchesters.
And that means a rifle?
The rifle. The lever-action rifle.
How many shots in that thing?
Depending, anywhere from, I guess, 9 up to about 15, depending on the caliber. And that was one of the interesting things. One of the last lever actions that Winchester built was the 1894. And I've got it down here. I can't remember the exact date, but it was like the 1970s, when they 60s or 70s.
Until 2006.
2006.
That's what you put down here,
7 million 1894 Winchesters were built.
Wow. And that was 1866 when they created the thing.
No, the Winchester 94 came out in 1894.
I'm trying to read your notes here.
Yeah.
Rod Linkus has written all this up, and he's not looking at his notes when he talks to us. Now, Scott, you don't have notes either. But
I've got the notes, but I'm just listening to Rod. Really.
Rod's pretty good about it.
They went from 1866, which was the first with a loading gate instead of a tube feed like you do with a .22 nowadays.
Well, here your entry says 1895 Winchester came out with what was probably the last of the Old West guns.
Yeah, the 1895 was a lever action magazine fed, and it was the last one that most of the Old West lawmen carried.
Well, there's a lot of details on this Old West history. The guns are part of it. And let's take a look. We've got to take a break here. Let's take a look at some other things maybe specific to El Paso, because all of this generally applies to the Old West.
Well, the one thing you got to remember, a lot of the military guns ended up in civilian hands.
Mm-hmm. Because they just take them and leave with them?
Well, they would sell them.
Sell them off.
But also, didn't they have to buy them to go in some cases?
No. Well, it depended. Some of the military units, as he was mentioning about the Henry, units bought them or the individuals bought them because they liked having the extra firepower instead of loading one at a time.
You're having another gun. Yeah. Here it comes. Yeah. All right, more details on the gun history after a break, but we're going to do some of what you call your trivia. You're right. We had a leftover trivia question I forgot about.
I know.
Let's put out all the questions. And we have a caller. Is this caller for trivia? Is something else? Okay. But let's put out all kinds of trivia questions. What do you
got? These are pretty complicated. I wouldn't put them all at the same time.
Okay.
Okay, let's go with this one. Name the three main ingredients in black gunpowder.
Ooh.
If you're a gun aficionado, you should know that one. I got one of them last night when you asked me.
Well, and also you got to be careful, because if you happen to mix them and didn't know the formula, one of bad times. Okay, 544 to guess, the whole number.
544-5876 or 544-KTSM.
That's what the winners of Bridgestone's Great Cowboy Tickets giveaway from Martin Tire are saying as they get ready to hit the road to see their Dallas Cowboys play next month in Arlington. There's plenty of time for more winners, and all you have to do is pick up your official entry form at any Martin Tire store. There's no purchase necessary. And while you're there, take a look at the Bridgestone Dueler HL422 Ecopia. If you've got an SUV or crossover, this may be the perfect all-season tire for you. Let the tire professionals at Martin Tire show you what made Martin Tire the Southwest's favorite tire dealer. So whether you're driving across town or across Texas, now is the perfect time for a set of four Bridgestone tires, and at prices that won't put a dent in the holiday budget. And don't forget to fill out an official entry form for your chance to win two tickets during Bridgestone's Great Cowboy Tickets giveaway, going on right now and only from your friends at Martin Tire. Hurry in today, because all good things come to an end, and this will too on November 30th. No purchase necessary. One entry per family. Ticket giveaway open to residents of New Mexico and West Texas. See store for details and official rules.
Oh, it just doesn't matter how many sit-ups I do. My belly just won't go away.
Are you sure you're not just bloated?
Bloated?
Yeah, some people with big bellies actually aren't fat. They're just bloated.
Really?
Like me, I totally used to be plagued by potbelly until I got my free trial of Nubiotics. It's like this natural new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. You just have to decrease use if your belly flattening results are too dramatic.
So it works?
Oh, yeah. Turns out I wasn't fat, just bloated. My belly flattened and continues to get flatter. So, yeah, you're going to love it. And actually, I think they're even still giving away free trials.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Find out with a free trial of Nubiotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. But hurry, call now for details while they're still giving it away for free. 1-800-900-1624. That's 1-800-900-1624. 1-800-900-1624.
If your car was hit by the recent hailstorm in El Paso, call Fixident and have the damage fixed fast. Fixident has over 20 years of experience and is the industry leader in paintless dent removal, carrying an A-plus rating with the Better Business Bureau and offering free mobile estimates and loaner cars. They'll come right to your home or work and take the hassle out of hail damage repair. Call 1-800-FIXIDENT now and put the inconvenience of the hailstorm behind you. Call 1-800-FIXIDENT now.
You're unique, so why is your mattress one size fits all? Because a custom mattress costs thousands, until now. Hi, I'm Christian von Rickenbach, founder of HelixSleep.com, where you can buy a mattress online, customized for you, for hundreds of dollars instead of thousands. Go to HelixSleep.com, answer a few simple questions, and we build you the most comfortable mattress you'll ever sleep on. Shipping is free, and you have 100 nights to try it out. Go to HelixSleep.com/radio and get $50 off your order. HelixSleep.com/radio.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history, Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive, Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles, and by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Pohl.
Well, it's a bunch of phone calls. I have no idea who is on the phone because I can't see the list.
Let's guess.
Oh, just guess who they are. And which line was the one, Shelley, that I needed to take first? Well, Shelley's listening to different station.
Well, we've got announcements to make anyway.
What, two, is it? That's true. Okay, what do you got in the way of announcements here?
Well, we've got Keystone Luminarias by the Lake. We took a year off of that, but we brought them back this year, and they're going to be even bigger and better. And that's going to be Saturday, December 9th and 10th, and at Keystone Heritage Park down in Donovan and the El Paso Desert Botanical Gardens are all going to be lit up with over 2,500 luminarias. And we're going to have musical entertainment and refreshments, and it's going to be a great event. It's our biggest fundraiser for Keystone.
You wander around out there, it's just kind of silent and nice.
Yeah, and we have Christmas music.
Oh, this time you have music.
We have live entertainment, but we also have Christmas music piped around the garden. So you get really into the spirit. And it's only $4 for adults and $1 for children.
Both nights.
And if you have questions, call me at 915-581-7920, and I'll be glad if you want to help out that night or you just want to go.
Wait a minute. That's Bernie's number.
I know, but I do share it with him.
Oh, I see. That's what that
is. I'm his secretary.
Letting you know, we got trivia full here. Got a couple of callers ready to go. December 3rd. Got to tell you who's coming in here next week. McGoffin Home is having the holiday celebration we've been talking about.
That's right.
And that celebration, we're here all about it, plus the history of the McGoffin Home in Hour 1. Hour 2, we're going to talk to John Mitta. And see, John Mitta has these stories that are in the El Paso scene.
Mm-hmm.
And he's the kind of guy, well, I got some horror stories. You want me to bring them up? Yeah, bring them up. So we're going to have him tell stories that he's lived, seen, heard about, or maybe he dreamed them up. We don't know. But he has interesting stories. That's next week, December 10th. Oh, check this out. Bob Bowes Bell will be our guest on that morning. First hour, he's the publisher of True West Magazine. Going to ask him to talk about his opinion of El Paso, what he thinks of our Old West history.
Well, I think he's going to have a lot of it.
Well, he's an expert on Billy the Kid well, from what I hear. Hour 2, History Day for UTEP. They're going to have the students participate. It's kind of like a science fair. And if you have kids in EPISD, make sure that they understand that this is possible. Dr. Martin from UTEP will be in. And December 17th, we're going to give history for Christmas. We got all kinds of history things. Rosa Guerrero may come in. We got Maria Natividad. She wrote that book that's got a Spanish and English and a picture, and it explains about 17 or 18 of El Paso's specific places. Like, you know, I grew up here as a kid, and I did not know the history that's in her little book until I was about 50 years old.
Oh, wow.
It's not taught in our school systems. Get Maria's book. Also, we're going to run some DVD clips, because Bernie and I did a video 10 years ago that's still valid. So anyway, that's on the 17th. Bernie's coming in on the 24th. December 31st, we're going to hear some archive stuff going on there. All right, Shelley, now I am ready. We need to talk about who's on the air, and we're going to go to Calvin on line 5. Calvin, we think you're on the radio. What do you think?
Calvin?
You got the wrong button punched here, no? Put Calvin on hold. Are you there now? Okay, let's try number 3. Calvin, is that you?
This is Steve.
Well, hey, Steve, let's talk to you. What's new with you? What are you up to? You got trivia questions? You got other thoughts? What's going on?
Oh, I'll do the trivia question. Then I got a question for your gun shop owner. I think it's like 60% saltpeter, 30% sulfur, and 10% charcoal.
We looked it up.
God, he's got the percentage.
No, he doesn't.
Yeah. He doesn't?
No, he doesn't.
It's close.
Rod?
75, 15, and 10.
But we weren't asking for percentages, though.
Yeah, we were.
No, we weren't.
Oh, we weren't?
No.
Oh, in that case, you win.
Steve, you win. Ignore him.
Okay, you want the food? You want a DVD? You want the DVD that you helped me shoot?
I'll take that.
Last tour of the El Paso smelter, Steve was one of the guys up on the mountain. Steve got the best shot, the one that's on the cover. Steve took that shot, and that's actually HD video. We froze it.
Yeah, he's a great guy.
Oh, Steve's got a camera that won't quit. Steve, well, you know you have to hold on, and Shelley will tell you how to pick it up, but you got something else on your mind.
Yeah, my favorite gun of my several is my grandfather's 1919 Marlin 22 pump-action rifle. It holds 20 shots. It's a great gun. I don't know. I don't want to know how much it's worth now. And it says 1919 on the barrel. It's written on there, 1919. I don't know if that's the patent or the manufacturing date. But I'm curious, how much would that have cost my grandfather back in the day? I think he bought it because of that law that required all able-bodied men to have a firearm and ammunition.
Yeah. This is Scott, by the way. I'm not sure how much that would have cost back in the old days. But, I mean, if you want to bring it by, we can give you a current value and look up some history on it and we can go over that, and I can figure out what it cost back then. It's kind of a neat kind of a neat thing to see. So if you want to stop by the store, you know, it doesn't cost you anything. We'll get a little history on it.
4,000 North Mesa.
4,000 North Mesa. Come by and see us.
Must be at 4,000 North Mesa.
Have you got a rough idea of what it might have cost back then?
You know, I really... I don't even
probably
know.
Probably $5 or $10.
Yeah, I would say somewhere in that range, which, you know, kind of a significant amount of money. I'll tell you a little quick story. So my grandfather, back in the, you know, old days, late 20s, early 30s, whatever, they were working as tenant farmers, and you know, he made about a quarter a day picking cotton back then. And he bought a single shot 22 rifle, saved up $7, and spent $7 on a 22 rifle. He said when he got home, his dad beat him black and blue for spending $7 on a rifle.
Wow.
But he had that gun till the day he died. But $7 back in those days, I mean, that was a lot of money.
Huge. That was food for a couple of months, actually.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. So, you know, those guys, you know, back then, you really made an investment in whatever you bought, gun-wise.
Steve, how you been doing otherwise? You okay? Did Steve go away?
Steve is
gone. Steve, ran off.
You got to stay on the line to get your prize, Steve. All right, well, Steve went historic on us. We have another question, right?
Yeah, you've got somebody on the phone.
Steve may call you back, Shelley, but Steve went away. Let's go to Dorothy. Dorothy's on the radio. Good morning.
Morning, Dorothy.
Good morning.
Dorothy, we got you?
Yes, I'm on the line.
Yes, you are. You're on the radio as well. Melissa, what kind of questions we got left here?
Well, name the major engineering development in weapons that made projectiles more accurate in the mid-1800s, and we talked about that earlier.
Oh, yes, I was listening, but I wasn't writing down.
But think about it. No, we're going to work with you here. Think about it. What about a rifle is interesting that makes it more accurate?
Scope?
No! Okay, for that you don't win. It's the rifling. I just hate
the rifling, which is what the engraving or the engraving.
It's engraved on
the barrel.
It's not engraving. It's actually kind of a drill.
Channels.
Okay, and it is spiral.
Yeah, it's a spiral channel. Okay. You know, spiral channels that run down the.
The bullet.
That tells you how much I know about guns.
Well, just
now
make
you
sure
know more.
If you get near one, make sure you know which end is which. Okay.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Take care.
Bye.
Bye. Well, hey, life in the fast lane. We didn't take another break here. What you got?
Yeah. Well, we've got a question after the break from Facebook, so we'll bring that one up afterwards.
Fair enough. We also got El Paso Inc. after the break, so we'll do that. Shall we do that?
I think so.
Call us up or Facebook us and pick a number.
You go to the El Paso History Radio Show and Facebook us, where I'm getting this next question, and call us at 544-KTSM.
Go to ephistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history and for podcasts of our weekly radio show and for a list of area stores that carry our DVDs like El Paso's Waco Tanks, Mexican Revolution sites in El Paso, and Legends of El Paso's Mountains. 18 titles in all, plus links to dozens of TV stories about El Paso area history. Go to ephistory.com for a journey into El Paso's amazing history. ephistory.com.
Let me ask you a question. How long has it been since you've updated your home or business list of assets or property inventory? In the case of a loss by fire, theft, or natural disaster, the insurance company and police will ask for detailed descriptions and often require pictures as proof of ownership. If you can't remember, you can't recover. Contact Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services. Our process provides detailed documentation of what you own. There is no price tag on peace of mind. Call 915-581-7099.
When I listen to Audible, I'm not cooking dinner for one. I'm on horseback, galloping across the Scottish moors towards my one true love. There, through the mist, I see my beloved, kilt flapping in the breeze. The fibers of his shirt struggle against his bulging muscles as he takes me from my horse and my frittata!
Go to audible.com/act now and your first download is free. Audible, stories that surround you.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. It reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your money in the Wall Street casino. To get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com. bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com.
Managing your credit is a skill, and like any skill, you have to walk before you can run. The free Experian app is a great way to start building your credit skills. Download the free Experian app for Android or iOS right now. Experian, be better at credit.
Hi, I'm Russell Stover. Here at BMW of El Paso, we know price can be limiting when buying the luxury car of your dreams. Not at our store. Don't let expensive payments hold you back from your new dream machine. Now, drive the new 2017 X1 xDrive 28i for just $329 a month. Come on by 6318 Montana Avenue or see us on the web at bmwofelpaso.com. 778-9381. Just call, that's all.
36-month lease. No security deposit. $3,000 due at signing plus DTNL. Offer ends 11-3016. See dealer website for details.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Oh, we got a lot of things going on in here. We'll tell you what's going on this week only in El Paso, Inc.
Who will be El Paso, Inc.'s El Pasoan of the Year 2016? This week, they announced the nominees.
And what's the connection between the biggest oil field discovery ever in the United States and the sale of Western refining?
And a colorful mural taking shape just across the border hopes to bring attention to attention and pride to a poor neighborhood.
That's in El Paso, Inc. online at elpasoinc.com and available for home and business delivery by calling
El Paso, Inc. at 534-442-2 to subscribe.
All right, and also we need to talk about Pepe's.
Pepe's, yeah. We give away, they're kind enough to give us items to give away in the show. And they do a wonderful catering service.
That's true. This is the holidays.
And the holidays are coming up. And if you want some people that are going to cater some wonderful food, you need to give them a call. And their phone number is 877-2152. And they're going to be there for all your catering needs.
And Pepe's pretty good about this stuff. Yeah. I mean, you want some decent stuff, that's what he's got.
You'll never be disappointed with their food.
I've had him do that several times. And it's a worthy event. And it's like, okay, this is good food. Came to my house. Oh, even better. Ooh. That's more fun than I can imagine.
You don't have to go get it.
Well, sometimes it's easier if you're on them if you do. But they will deliver, I think. Okay, moving, where are we going with all this? We got guns in here. Rod Linkus is here. Yeah. And we got our announcements out of the way.
Well, we got that. But Facebook had a question.
Okay.
And Scott, it came
Drake
from Vince.
Here.
And he wants Rod to talk about the 1875 Remington Outlaw.
What's that?
It's another type. Excuse me. It's another type of gun put out by the Remington Company. Real quickly, Smith & Wesson came out with a bore-through cylinder in the 1850s, it started out as a 22 caliber pistol. They had the patent on that, so you could not use the bore through cylinder. That's why cap and ball stayed around for quite a while. When the patent ran out, Colt immediately made the 1873 for the Army, and then it went over to the civilian market. After that, you had the Remington Outlaw, which was a designed by Remington. It looked kind of like a black powder pistol with a web underneath. Fired a 44 Winchester center fire as opposed to the 45 Colt.
Why do they make that one little bitty difference? Just to be different?
Yeah, they wanted something proprietary. And so that became one of the bigger cartridges.
So what if you put the wrong cartridge in the right gun?
Most of them won't fit.
Oh.
As a matter of fact, I found out I don't have it. 38 Smith & Wesson. I've got a 38 Merwin Hulbert, which means I have to get a smaller cartridge for that gun I've got.
Is that hard to define cartridges like that?
Oh, God, yes.
Yeah, I don't even know where to start looking, but we're going to.
So what do you do? Go online and just find a store that's got everything?
Well, you try. There's a lot of specialties. I'll give you another example. I've got a Colt 1877 double action in 41 long Colt. A box of rounds for that is $75.
Let's go target practicing.
Not really.
Wow.
You also had the Smith & Wesson brake tops, which is the way Smith & Wesson made their guns. They did have a few Schofields in there. And then you had the Merwin & Hulbert, like I've talked about. Very, very niche gun. There was probably 95,000 to 100,000 of them made. they were more expensive than the other three by about $3 or $4 because they were so finely made.
All right, let's dial this conversation to the Mexican Revolution in El Paso. What happened here? What guns were used? Where'd they get them? And who sold them to them?
Okay, I'm not positive. I think Krakauer was one of them that sold them.
Yes.
Pancho Villa usually got the 30-30 Winchesters, the 1894, in large numbers. Mexican Army, I think, was using 8mm Mausers.
They were using the 7mm Spanish Mausers. But yep, by that time, I mean, like you said, they were bringing every gun they could get a hold of from over here. And
selling them to the Mexicans?
Yeah, basically. So it was a lot of old Winchester rifles and old Colt pistols and things like that. But they were basically outgunned by the government, you know, with the Mauser repeating bolt action. You know, I mean, they just couldn't keep up on range and couldn't keep up on power because they were using outdated, at that time, weapons.
And we heard they got a train load of bad ammo, which caused the guys over in Columbus, New Mexico, some trouble.
Yeah, that
you heard that story.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody sold Pancho Villa a whole bunch of bad ammo, supposedly. Isn't that what happened?
No, it wasn't bad ammo. It was they overpriced it or something like that, or didn't get the same amount.
Villa was upset with a merchant in Columbus, and that's supposedly one
of
the reasons.
Actually, not a merchant in Columbus. It was a merchant somewhere else, but he raided Columbus because it was close to the border.
What about Sam Ravel? What did he have to do with it? He was a salesman.
Yeah.
But he was in Columbus.
I don't know about that.
Yes, he was. No, he was.
No,
yeah.
I'm saying I don't know.
No, Sam Ravel was in Columbus as a resident. The day of the raid, he was in El Paso with dental work.
Ah.
So Villa missed him.
Yeah, his relative was here. He's a totally blank on her name. I've known her as an old friend.
Oh, she was in here.
Yes.
Melinda.
No.
Well, moving on to other things.
The other side of that, too, is I don't know if you remember Bobby McNellis.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But he used to go across the border and get all those guns from the Mexican Revolution, the 1894s and the old Colts.
Well, how did he get them? Because they're illegal over there.
They were legal for a long time.
Oh.
And people collected them and things like that.
Well, did he buy a carload of them, or what?
He used to buy whatever he could find for like $5 or $10, and come back and sell them for quite a bit of money here.
Oh, wow!
The funny story is that Pancho Villa's widow, kind of like Bat Masterson, used to keep a whole drawer full of 45 Colts.
Oh, and they were all his guns.
Yeah,
would
every
you
one
like
of them
to
was
buy
his
Pancho?
Gun.
Yeah. Oh, I bought Pancho's gun. Really? Yeah, I got six of them. Yeah, fine.
Something like that.
Well, that's a bizarre part of the history in El Paso. Yeah. And a lot of people, that's what I was talking about on that Beck show Friday morning. People don't understand what happened here. There's layer after layer of huge international history right in this valley.
There is a book about the Mexican Revolution. I can't remember the name of it now.
That's not helpful.
I know. But they were talking, literally millions of rounds came through here.
Oh, yeah.
And tons of explosives. And they got to the point where they were taking women and putting the ammunition under their dresses because they would not be searched. And when they went across the border.
Back in that day.
Well, they finally got women down here as part of the enforcement effort.
Ladies,
so that they could search the women.
Ladies, show me your bullets.
Oh, I see a woman dragging her purse down over the bridge.
I need to put my purse in a wagon. It's a little heavy. The history of El Paso and the guns of the West. What are your also thoughts? We have to take another break here. Should we do that, Sergio? Take a break and come back and wrap this up, because there's a lot more things to talk about. And also, I want to...
It's a whole other show.
Well, I want to thank the control room crowd. We keep them kind of busy this morning because we had some extra audio going. We got one more piece of audio coming up.
Yes.
But we have Shelley Sutherland...
Yay.
On phones and on electrons, Sergio
Valenzuela.
Go to break, Sergio. Take it away.
Oh, it just doesn't matter how many sit-ups I do. My belly just won't go away.
Are you sure you're not just bloated?
Bloated?
Yeah, some people with big bellies actually aren't fat. They're just bloated.
Really?
Like me, I totally used to be plagued by pot belly until I got my free trial of Nubiotics. It's like this natural new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. You just have to decrease use if your belly flattening results are too dramatic.
So it works?
Oh, yeah. Turns out I wasn't fat, just bloated. My belly flattened and continues to get flatter. So, yeah, you're gonna love it. And actually, I think they're even still giving away free trials.
If you've got a big belly, you might not be fat. You might just be bloated. Find out with a free trial of New Biotics, the new breakthrough that flattens bloated bellies fast. But hurry, call now for details while they're still giving it away for free. 1-800-900-1624. That's 1-800-900-1624. 1-800-900-1624.
If you want to work until you drop, reduce your standard of living in retirement, or lose more of your hard-earned money in the stock market, then just ignore me. But if you'd like to generate a steady, predictable income, I'm talking real wealth and financial security for as long as you live, then listen to this. A free report is now available that reveals the money-making secrets Wall Street and the banks don't want you to know. It reveals how you can get guaranteed growth, safety, and wealth-building power without risking your money in the Wall Street casino. To get your free special report, visit bankonyourself.com. That's bankonyourself.com.
As a busy parent, taking your child's temperature shouldn't be as stressful as fighting through traffic. With the Exergen Temporal Scanner Thermometer, one gentle scan of the forehead is all it takes. If only the commute were that easy. Pick one up at Target or other fine retailers.
You've got the control. Just type in your favorite artist and iHeartRadio creates custom stations for free. Commercial-free artist stations you control by thumbing songs up or down. iHeartRadio is free. Free. Free to download. Free. Free to use. That's control.
Yeah, yeah.
All your favorite music. All your favorite stations. All free. Download and open our iHeartRadio app or listen online at iHeartRadio.com.
Now let's turn back the pages of time and return to the El Paso History Show, brought to you by EPHistory.com for DVDs about El Paso history. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant at 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. And now, here again, El Paso History with Melissa Sargent and Jackson Polk.
Ah, yes. Where do you think that came from? Pick a state. Where is that music
the
from?
The first TV show ever covered in, shown in color.
Yep. This one?
Correct, yes. Mm-hmm.
And it is?
Bonanza.
No! Was it?
Yes.
Is it really?
That ranch was Ponderosa.
Okay,
that's what
then you
were
guys
thinking.
Got the right one.
Yes, yes.
Fair enough. Well, and don't we have a caller on the phone?
There is a vocal version with the cast singing it, and it is terrible.
Oh dear!
But Hop Sing, how did Hop Sing sing it?
No, just the
boys.
Oh, Hop Sing, man, I forgot about him. No, you can't forget about Hop Sing.
Chop Suey.
But that's the old West right there. And like I keep saying, I was doing homework to every one of these things. All right, going to a phone call here by name Mike. Mike got you on the radio. What's up, Mike?
I've got a question regarding some guns.
All righty, you're here.
Awesome. Okay, I've got a carbine. Well, it's not one of the war rifles. I believe it's one of the sportsman rifles. I'd like to know what the difference was between the one that was used in the wars and the one that was used for civilian hunters.
Gentlemen, any ideas?
Well, it depends on the gun.
Meaning what?
There are a lot of different kinds of carbines, but a lot of times it was caliber choices that were available. The military used specific calibers, and other than that, most of the time, just the stamps and markings that were on the gun.
Otherwise, they function pretty much the same?
Yeah, basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does that make your answer simple?
Real quick, 1892 Krag carbine was a 30-40 Krag, a Norwegian invention. They had the 1895 Winchester, which is a sporting rifle, and that was in 30-40 Krag, among other calibers. That's the big difference.
Does that make a difference to you, Mike?
Kind of doesn't. Again, I was just checking to see what the specifics were regarding the military one versus the civilian one. Because I know the one that I have is a, I believe it's a 30 caliber. I don't think it's that big, but it's a .30 on the rifling. So
all right, let me
bring it down to Scott's shop.
Ask you, these guys are going to go to his shop across the street after the show. And anybody wants to bring in some stuff, 4,000 North Mesa is the Scott Drake. And what's on the top?
It's Drake Fine Sporting Arms Drake on the sign. We're right next to Sabretooth and right across from Carnitas.
That's on North Mesa. Bring that thing over here, Mike, and they'll take a look at it and look it up for you. Fair enough?
Thank you.
Yes, sir. You take her easy. And there's a lot that can be done in here because a lot of people have inherited guns.
Right.
And they have no idea what's in that box, except they know it's guns.
Right.
So they bring the box to you?
Yeah, bring the box to us. And, you know, what we run into a lot of times is a guy will have a gun collection, and the guy gets older and passes away or whatever, and now the widow has no idea what's going on.
I know several like that.
Right, exactly. So, now she's rifling through the gun room and has no idea what's in there or what it's worth or what any of it is, really.
Yeah.
And, could be significant. So we run into that quite a bit.
Or you can get a bag of gun.
That too. What? I get the random guy that shows up with a gun taken apart in a Ziploc bag and hey, I took this apart, can you put it back together?
Oh.
Yeah, sure.
And that's what you do.
Yeah, that's what we do, little everything.
Well, the old West and guns are inseparable in the history, and that's what we did this show for today, basically to take a look at that. Have we covered what we need to? Because you guys could probably talk for 3 more hours at this, and that's why you're going to be at the store across the street.
Right,
you'll
be
there for 3 more hours and keep talking.
Yeah, we can cover anything that anybody has a question on. Just bring it by, knowledge is free. So
I just wanted to touch on the shotguns real quick because it was the gun that won the West.
We've got several minutes here, but go ahead.
Yeah, we started out with single-barrel, double-barrel muzzle loaders. Then we came into the break action like you see in the movies. And contrary to opinion, the stagecoach drivers or shotgun messengers on there usually did not have a sawed-off shotgun. It was a 30-inch barrel so they could reach out and touch somebody.
Well, then what do you mean reach out and touch
somebody? You didn't want if you were going to have a problem, you didn't want that guy to have to be within, 20, 30 feet to take care of him.
Catch him a little further out.
A little further
50
out.
Yards or so.
And was that like a double barrel, and they had two shots, and they were
two
done?
Two shots, yeah. And then in 1887, John Moses Browning, one of the greatest innovators in weapons in history, came out with the 1887 Winchester lever-action shotgun in 10 and 12 gauge. And then in 1892, he developed something called the Winchester pump-action shotgun, which later evolved into the Model 1897, which ended up as a trench gun during the First World War.
In the trench, I take it?
Yeah.
Okay.
Sawed off, 15-inch bayonet, and you'd go into the trenches and blow everybody away. It was a great weapon for that kind of thing.
Guns are amazing. What other thoughts can we tell these people on the radio here? Because the West was won by the guns, basically, is the way I get it.
Yeah, it's better than hacking your way across the West with an axe or something. I don't know.
Well, too bad we had to be so violent about all this, but, I mean, that is the
It was a violent country, at the time, or a violent land.
Yeah.
And, we're not talking about people.
No, I'm talking about just the territory itself. I mean, the grizzly bear,
That's why you wanted one of these.
That's why you want that. I mean, the grizzly bear doesn't care what you're carrying,
Well, some of those old West, like the guy, what was the movie they just made with
Hugh Glass?
Hugh Glass was the gentleman that got eaten by a bear and he didn't die enough.
Yeah.
The first time.
Yeah, I watched the movie and then I made the mistake of reading the real story. It's not nearly as exciting.
Yeah.
Well, the lady who wrote the book on him was in here and she basically chronicled the doctor who ran into him.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
And so that was the doctor who quantified what this guy was into, and that was the lady we had, Joy Poole, out of New Mexico.
Yeah, made for a neat movie, though.
Yeah.
You got to remember one thing. When they say based on a true story, it's
loosely,
not.
Well,
the name could be similar.
Most good history stories, there's so much involved in it that you couldn't really get it all on the screen, and sometimes it's not all, like you said, all that exciting.
Well, that's kind of the point that I came in here with today is that we focus so much on the gunfighters and the lawmen and things like that, but all that stuff, I mean, it was really few and far between in the old West days. The guns that were really important was the gun that every farmer and every rancher and every frontiersman moving across going west had in his wagon, and it was
Well, a good example is the sawed-off shotgun I referred to earlier. My grandmother used that when the Union when the Union was trying to get her restaurant to go Union. They were trying to burn her restaurant down. She went out with rock salt in that sawed-off shotgun and caught the guy as he was diving into the window right in the rear end.
Oh, that's a good place.
Yeah.
Hey,
so it was used in many different ways.
We have a caller, not just any caller. Eliezer, the seat's still warm. How's it going?
Hey, it's great. I love the show. I love, listen, I'm a great gun advocate, and I'm a Second Amendment advocate.
You got 30 seconds.
I have a question.
30 seconds.
Is it true that the 45 was actually created for South Africa, the Boers War, because it was the native stuff, something to actually, if you got hit, then it would knock them over?
Are you talking about the 45 automatic?
Yes.
No, that was basically for the came out of the Moro War in the Philippines because the 38 didn't have the stopping power.
Oh, I thought it was South Africa, the Boers War or something.
No.
Oh, okay. But that was because it was the stopping power. You can hit them anywhere and knock them over.
Well, not quite that bad, but yeah, it was better.
What they were running into was guys that were hopped up on different chemicals, and you needed something a little more potent to put them down.
Eliezer, you hear the music?
Yeah,
we're gone,
thanks
dude.
Very much. Okay.
Thanks.
See you next week.
See you next week, gentlemen. Thanks for coming in here.
No problem.
Got the guns figured out. You'll be across the street. 4,000.
We'll be across the street. Yeah.
I'm going to Pepe's myself.
Yes.
See whoever out there. See you next week.
See you
thanks
next
a lot.
Week.
Take
Bye-bye.
Care. Bye bye.
Thank you for listening to the El Paso History Show. We hope you'll join us again next Saturday morning, 10 to noon, and be sure to tell a friend about us. Brought to you by ephistory.com, the website for archive podcasts of this radio show, and DVDs about El Paso history and heritage, ephistory.com. Pepe's New Mexican Restaurant and Cantina, making the old Griggs recipes in a new location, 6761 Donovan Drive. Sargent Home and Business Inventory Services, providing affordable photographic and digital inventories of your home, office, or collectibles. Call 915-581-7099. And by Monterey Asset Management for your real estate investments. Thank you for joining us from the studios of News Radio 690 KTSM AM, El Paso.